Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
Every once in a while, we gotta f*** the religious people.
There are 720 churches in Charlotte. I'm sure we can find one where you can stuff your face.
Shut up. Quit pointing out the problem.
Men will be proud, arrogant, abusive. You watch some of today's rock star pastors, and you will see every characteristic Paul listed played out in vivid detail on the church stage.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
I'm This is Wretched Radio. Now that we have that established, let us go about the business of nitpicking. You say, really, do we have to nitpick everything as Christians? No, we don't have to nitpick everything, but we are to nitpick some things. And if we don't nitpick the central tenet of Christianity, if we do not have a Berean-like ear as we listen to or go about the business of presenting the very basics of our faith, the essence, the central doctrine of Christianity, we ought to be nitpickers when it comes to the gospel. How can we not get this right? How have we grown so casual about this teaching? Is it not possible that one of the reasons that we have so many false converts is because we've had so many bad gospel presentations? Even when all of the correct elements are there, if they're not in the correct order, it makes it confusing. But so often, they're not only not in the correct order, but bits are left out, which makes the gospel incoherent to the unbeliever. What you're about to hear is a 1 minute and 2 second long gospel presentation. It's making the social media rounds right now. Her name is Whitney Lynn. She's an evangelist. She's stuck in an airplane with about 200 Alaska Airline passengers. She takes the opportunity to preach the gospel. And you're going to think I'm mean because I'm going to nitpick it. I don't think I'm being mean. This is the basics. If you went to a bread factory and you asked an employee, how do you make bread? And they gave you the wrong answer, you'd go, do you know what you're talking about? I mean, that's what you do. That's what you do. What we do is the gospel. We must get this right. And I'm afraid what this woman does, apparently she travels the country and she records herself doing this in coffee shops and just in an airplane when she's stuck on an airplane. And what you're about to hear, I believe, is not an accurate gospel presentation. But you be the judge.
Hello, everybody. Good morning.
Good morning.
I know we're all waiting. It's kind of frustrating, right? This wait. But I want to tell you that God's timing is perfect. And God knows everything. And maybe he's sparing us from danger today. So I want you to rest.
That actually is true. The segue was a little lame. But that is actually true. But I'm not sure that I would preach that to a group of people that I know nothing about in an airplane. They can't rest in that because they don't believe in God. In fact, they're at enmity with God. For the Christian, that is a wonderfully comforting message, that we are stuck on this tarmac. We're going to be delayed in our flight. Maybe he's sparing us a crash. And it is good because we can trust that God. I believe that's fine to share with Christians, but here comes the gospel.
And know that Jesus Christ loves you so much.
Hold the phone right there. Who's Jesus Christ? Without explaining who it is, he's that teacher like Gandhi, isn't he? He's that moral guy. Oh, I guess some people think that he lived 2,000. You've got to explain who Jesus Christ is, but there's more information that I believe needs to precede that. Furthermore, Jesus Christ loves you so much. Well, that's a relief. I love me too.
That he died on a cross for your sins.
Hold the phone. What's a cross? Why did he die for my sins? Hey, wait a second. You calling me a sinner? So she doesn't use the law. So sin is suddenly unreasonable because every person will declare their own goodness with their mouth. They think that they are good people. Furthermore, dying on a cross, what cross? That's one of my favorite necklaces. I've got a cross necklace. Why did he die on a piece of jewelry? I don't understand what's happening here. And you think, okay, now you're just being silly to a degree, but not entirely. We do not live any longer in a Christian educated society. People do not know anything about Christianity as a rule. We need to explain all of these things. And to launch with God loves you, all you've undermined, if you're going to talk about the eternality of hell, You've undermined it completely. I thought he loved me. And why would he have to die on a cross for my sins? It's because she has left so many things out already, including the use of the law, but she's left out even more. She's left out, I think, what almost always needs to be the first message in an evangelistic presentation.
He rose again in 3 days. He's alive and he's the one true God. But the wages of our sin is death.
Hold it. That should have been about second in the presentation. The wages of sin is death. That at least brings some clarity to he died on a cross for our sins. But even that is feeling a little bit muddy, abstract, and confusing, frankly. What's the big deal about sin? Why would Jesus, who we don't actually know that he's fully God, fully man, why would he have to die on a cross for my sins? It's because she's left out what I believe should be the first component of a gospel presentation, the character and the nature of God. God is holy. He's a consuming fire. He's pure. He's set apart. He's a clean room. He cannot look upon sin. He doesn't have an attribute of holiness. His entire being is holy, holy, holy. There's no stronger way to emphasize a particular aspect of an individual than to repeat it three times. He is holy, holy, holy. And suddenly, the concept of sin and its wages being death, okay, I can get that now. It's because I've committed sins against an infinitely holy being, and suddenly the doctrine of hell makes more sense, at least the right doctrine of hell, which is the eternal conscious torment view. It isn't the spectacular nature of our sins that warrants eternity in hell. It is the one against whom we've committed the sins. And that is why in our evangelistic presentations, we must include the character of God. This woman failed to do that. She put Jesus loves you first. She gave a statement that I think was entirely unreasonable and even a bit offensive. He died for our sins. This is not a good gospel presentation.
Hell forever.
Okay, wait a second. So unreasonable, so unjust, unless you have emphasized the character and the nature of God. This is an offensive message. That is why an incomplete turn or burn message, I think, is actually just bad. To go out in the street these days and yell, you're going to hell for forever, you're a sinner, it's unreasonable. We must open the law and we must explain the eternality of hell and its reasonableness. And the only way to do that is by proclaiming the character and the nature of God.
Apart from Jesus, we won't make it to heaven.
Why? Why? What? Why not? Is God mean or something? No, he's holy.
But he loves you so much. Make him Lord. Repent of your sins.
Which isn't. First of all, we don't make him Lord. He is Lord. We are to repent, but where's faith? She leaves faith out. You need to trust in Jesus Christ. And so this is so typical. I'm so glad this is making the rounds because it allows us to do better. It allows us to sharpen up our gospel presentation because this woman, as well-intentioned as she might be, I'm sorry, didn't really do these people a favor.
He is coming back very soon.
Good message.
I pray protection over this flight in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Bless you guys. Bless you. Amen.
That was the end of the preaching. But the fun did not stop there. Alaska Airlines flight attendants believed that she was scary. They didn't feel safe. That's so therapeutic, isn't it? Nevertheless, I believe that an organization that owns private property, which a plane is, has every right to say, we don't want you doing that. So what did they do? They kicked her off the plane. And they can. That shouldn't be an issue for us. That is why going to a shopping mall, it's owned privately. They have every right to say, we don't want you doing that here any more than you would want a Buddhist walking into your church and proclaiming whatever it is Buddhists teach. They got nothing really to share other than just lose all your desires and gotta go now. You would be like, hey, don't do that here. And you'd have every right to kick him out. Well, so too does American Airlines. This is the evangelist being escorted off the aeroplane.
The Lord have mercy on your soul. Oh, touch ye not my anointed, do my prophets no harm.
Okay. Old Testament verse for 500 taken out of context, Alex. That is for prophets and that is for kings. That you should not harm them physically. She simply was told to get off the airplane. She's not a prophet. She's not a king. She was not being harmed. She doesn't need to threaten back.
You don't know who you just messed with. Wow.
And then she goes out into the thing, the terminal. Terrible, terrible word to be used in an airport. And she does basically the same thing, and she's ushered away from that too. You can judge her motives. You can judge the rightness of what she tried to do. But I do believe that we are called to judge that gospel presentation. Call me mean. But I think that this, if we are not willing to be critical of the most essential doctrine of the Christian faith, then I think we're something worse than mean. I think we're lazy servants. This is Wretched Radio.
Hey, thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. You know, there's no shortage of voices telling women how to handle anxiety, how to navigate relationships, how to find their identity. Honestly, most of it sounds pretty good until you realize it's just self-help slapped with Bible verses. That's not the same thing as biblical wisdom. And that's why we at Fortis Institute present to you The Better Way with Libby Glosson. Libby is an ACBC certified biblical counselor, and she's not just interested in giving you coping strategies. No, Libby's desire is to take you to scripture and show you what God actually says about the things that you're actually walking through. And this is the kind of content our gospel partners are making possible. If the content we're producing at Fortis Institute has been meaningful to you, I want to ask you to prayerfully consider becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner. Just go to fortisinstitute.org right now and find out what it would look like for you to be a part of getting content like The Better Way into the hands of women who need it. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
Perhaps you've been wondering, is there a Christian university that isn't woke? Or that hasn't compromised on important biblical doctrines like, you know, the age of the earth? There is. It's the Masters University in Southern California. Beautiful campus. All of the athletics and activities that you've come to expect from universities. But it's more than that. The academic programs are most excellent, preparing students for the future. The Washington Post just said, number 6 for preparing students for the real world. All that. Plus, the Masters University isn't woke, and it is thoroughly biblical. Would you like to learn more? I encourage you to visit the Masters University at masters.edu/wretched, masters.edu/wretched.
Here's a question. Do you think like a Christian, or do you just believe like one? See, a lot of evangelicals have accidentally split their brain in two. Faith goes in one box, logic, science, politics, morality, well, that all goes in another. And then we wonder why Christians sound just like everyone else when we talk about economics, education, or anything outside of Sunday morning. Wretched Worldview endeavors to fix that. Todd Friel and Dr. Owen Strand tackle 22 real-world issues through a biblical lens. Capitalism versus socialism, women in the military, global warming, eugenics, guns, stay-at-home moms, and then they show you what it actually looks like to think Christianly about all of it. And here's the best part. It's not just 22 answers. It's a framework. By the end, you'll have tools to build a biblical worldview on any issue that comes your way. Wretched Worldview. It's streaming for free right now on Fortis Plus. Just download the app wherever you download apps on your smartphone, on your smart TV, or just simply go to fortisplus.org.
Know your church fathers. Justin Martyr was a 2nd century apologist who was converted after seeing the courage and devotion of Christian martyrs. He earned his surname when he was executed for his faith. When asked to renounce his faith, he responded, "No one in their right mind turns from true belief to false belief."
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Order in the court. This is Wretched Radio. Prepare to play one of America. That's right. Prepare to play one of America's fastest growing game sensations. Which one of these clips is the most insufferable? Let's go with that. The most insufferable. First contestant, you might want to get your Bible and a calculator out. She is, I guess, a prophet of sorts. Hey, Haley, what was her name? Haley Grace?
Or Amanda Grace?
Amanda Grace.
Yeah, I think that was it.
What's the matter, Jimmy? You heard her before?
Yeah, I've seen this woman.
Okay, this is besides like the weird math and the numerology business, which is not the way to read your Bible, what is the point of all of this? Other than to raise money, I can't imagine any other reason to get people whipped up into a complete frenzy, which does appear to be her goal here. Just, scary. To profit from it somehow by having people send in money. This is utter nonsense.
Senator Lindsey Graham, his birthday is July 9th.
Uh-huh.
2 days later, on July 11th, he suddenly dies.
Okay.
July 9th to July 11th. 9/11, 9/11.
Oh.
Now, within this same July 9th to July 11th window, a new assassination plot against President Trump is uncovered involving Iran and the IRGC.
Tell me more.
This is all unfolding within a two-year window that equals 9/11, 2025 to 2027. 2 plus 2 plus 5 is 9. 2 plus 2 plus 7 is 11. 9/11. Within this year... 2026, Rosh Hashanah, the Feast of Trumpets,
right?
Begins on 9/11.
No!
It is the 25th anniversary this year of 9/11, within America's 250th year, all while President Trump's presidencies equal 9/11. 45 and 47. 4 plus 5 is 9. 4 plus 7 is 11. 9/11. We have to wake up and realize there is an alarm being sounded right now.
What is that alarm saying? Why do we have to wake up? What does all that nonsense have to do with anything, frankly? This is numerology gone cuckoo bird. She's just grabbing things all over the place. This is not the way to read the Bible. This is not the way to read the signs of the times. We have a word that is so clear. She's a trickster. She's a huckster. All she wants to do is get people stirred up. Make her seem like, oh, we've got to go to her so that we can be in touch. It would be you want to do something. If you're one of those people that is really good with statistics, go back if you can endure it and watch a bunch of her stuff and see if anything that she's ever said or predicted has come true. I'll bet not a single thing.
And we have to intercede and pray for what is coming. We have to heed
what's
right
coming
now. Have eyes to see and ears to hear.
Yeah, we do. What are we seeing? What are we hearing? What's coming?
What the Holy Spirit has to say, and that Congress, in the midst of this, and the Republican Party have to humble themselves right now before the Lord in the midst of what is unfolding within this window.
What's unfolding? What window?
This is an alarm being sounded. We need to pay attention to this thread. These things are not accidents the way they are unfolding.
Jimmy? What did we call this? Which one is most insufferable?
I think that was the word.
Yeah, okay. Well, this is going to get pretty insufferable, too. This is apparently Lord of the Rings of some way, shape, or form. This is Bethel Church. You have to... It's Shayon, Bill Johnson, a woman who seems to be pretty intense, and a couple of other, get ready for it, apostles. And they're gathering around a big staff. And they're going to start banging it on the stage, making proclamations.
Please stand up with us. If you can stand, because you're standing in authority, because you're all kings and priests.
Standing in authority. Jimmy, the next time that you want to get something done, stand in authority.
Okay.
Are we kings and priests? Yes, we are. This, however, is a doctrine that is so abused in these circles. You are a royal priesthood. You are indeed the kingdom. You hold the kingdom of the keys. You do. But they use it as something far different. You've got this. You've got some power, some intrinsic power inside of you that allows you to decree and declare.
And all of us, we're an apostolic people.
Oh. So I'm looking at the likes of Peter and Paul and Mark. Okay, cool. So I'm looking at apostles now.
So as an apostolic team, with the authority that God's given to us, We decree and declare that racism will end. It's over in the ecclesia from this night forward, okay, in Jesus' mighty name. The
That's all it took.
But they decreed and declared it. I'm pretty sure that racism is still happening.
I'm pretty sure it is.
What happened to their declaration here?
Stop it, bang it. Hallelujah. Come on, give them a praise offering.
Thou shalt not pass.
I had to be told what it is. Thou shalt not pass. I think that that's a Lord of the Rings, and they're banging the staff. So they've all got their hand on the staff. These are adults. Presume they look like adults. And they've got their hand on the staff. They're banging it. Thou shalt not pass.
No more.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I'm sorry. We did it twice. We need one more.
Yes, we do. That's right. We need it. Otherwise, the decree and the declaration, it just ain't going to work.
One more. We need you to agree with us.
Why? You're apostles.
Okay. On the count of three. On three. Shout with us. One, two, three. Thou shalt not pass.
Calm down, madam. There it is. Bada boom, bada bing. Racism is gone.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Uh-huh. That's contestant number two, Jimmy. How are you doing?
I'm okay in here.
All right. I don't think you are, actually. I don't think that you're okay at all. Which, by the way, if you would do me a very big favor, I'd be so grateful. If you recall when one handsome Jimmy Hicks was out for surgery, encouraged you to send him a note of encouragement, and you did. And that was really wonderful and edifying. I'd like you to send Jimmy another note of encouragement that is not edifying, but scolding. Tell him to knock it off. Tell him to just stop it. He is going nuts around here because he's acting as if he didn't have back surgery a few weeks ago, and you're doing too much stuff. I'm telling you, stop it. Well, because you're gonna set yourself back. No pun intended. And then you're going to have to go through something again to fix it. So stop with all of the activity around here. Start telling people what to do. We are happy to do things. We'll pick it up. We'll put it together. Whatever. Stop. So if you'd be kind enough... What did that woman say? I need your agreement.
Thou shalt not pass.
Thou shalt not pass, Jimmy. Okay. So if you'd send that to 877-282-2337, in Christian love, of course, that would be most appreciated. Ready for number three?
I think so.
Mm-hmm. This is not a church thing. I just found this tremendously sad. I believe this is Nick Shirley, if I'm not mistaken. He's out in the streets and he's interviewing people. And this woman is sitting on a bench, I suspect, maybe university student. And I guess this made its way around the internet because it's supposed to maybe be, you know, laughable and ridiculous. I just found it tremendously sad.
Let's just say somebody who has raped a woman.
Totally.
Would you like them to be out in the street?
I think my answer is yes, even though that's a challenging answer to say.
So if you got raped, would you like your rapist to be out in the street?
Well, like, let me finish. Because I have been raped, and they are out in the street. And I'm not sure, like, them going to jail is a solution to, like, whatever's going on inside their heart, or even my own heart that, like, contributed to that experience that I'm having. And I don't want more people to get raped, but I don't know for certain that going into a jail in the United States is going to shift anything inside of their, like, operating systems.
That's a woman who has been infused with progressivism. Furthermore, she doesn't understand the penal system. She thinks it's a rehabilitation system, and somebody going in, they might not get rehabilitated. That isn't why people go to jail, at least not biblically. It is to be punished for their crime. And if somebody has raped another human being, they should be punished whether they get rehabilitated or not. And she apparently had some sort of a bad experience, awful. and she doesn't appear to have enough sense of justice to say, yeah, that person needs to be in jail. I just found that really troubling. So I'm not sure that that qualifies. What are we saying here?
Which one is most insufferable?
Yeah. Okay. How's about we change it? Which one is most tragic? Let's go with that.
Yeah.
Contestant number whatever. This is in a Methodist church, Jimmy.
For they have tasted the divine. Blessed are the gays, for their joy in one another is contagious. Blessed are the bisexuals, for their confidence has expanded our pride. Blessed are those who are trans for the sake of self-compassion, for you have made water into wine.
Well, here you have it, Jimmy. That's a Methodist church rewriting the Beatitudes. Take your pick.
Yeah. Oh, you want me to pick from these
Which
four?
Which one is the most tragically insufferable sad one?
I'm going to go with the last one. If you're going to rewrite scripture, Blessed are the gays. Come on.
Hater. This is Wretched Radio.
And it's now time for your daily Fortis News Break, a production of Fortis Institute. Health and Human Services Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr. went on CNN recently and told the anchor across from him that she was part of the problem during COVID. Kennedy said the country dismantled its own constitutional rights overnight, with people censored or fired for asking questions the government didn't want to ask. The anchor kept steering toward what he'd do about the next public health emergency, and Kennedy kept answering that protecting the First Amendment is the thing to do. When she said she really wanted to move on, he told her, of course she did. He called it press malpractice. And you know what? He's right, because the doctors saying you're doing this wrong got vilified while the press cheered on. And speaking of speech, the government would rather you not use. Michigan has agreed to stop enforcing its ban on so-called conversion therapy. A federal judge signed a permitted order last week with the state conceding the law is unconstitutional as applied to counselors who only talk. Under the 2023 law that Governor Whitmer signed, a therapist who told a struggling girl she's a girl could lose her license. Michigan folded after the Supreme Court struck down Colorado's version in March. The attorney who won the case called it a victory for children, counselors, and common sense, because hurting kids deserves compassion, not a one-way ticket to drugs, hormones, or surgery. And whether a grown woman is allowed to say that out loud is currently tearing up the WNBA. I'm sure you've probably heard this by now, but Indiana Fever guard Sophie Cunningham said months ago that girls shouldn't have to compete against biological men, and she hasn't backed off of that since. Last week in Portland, her own head coach got the question and said she isn't educated enough from a scientific standpoint to answer it, adding that she doesn't believe exclusion is ever the answer and that she grew up playing with boys. Riley Gaines asked the obvious question back, if exclusion isn't the answer, what's the WNBA for? And Cunningham's team plays in Indianapolis. That's where the state house is having its own rough time. The top Republican in the Indiana Senate announced last week that he won't seek re-election as leader in November. 8 months ago, he and 20 other Republicans joined every Senate Democrat to kill President Trump's redistricting plan, a map that would have handed the party two or more congressional seats. Trump promised to fund primary challengers against any senator who backed him for another term. And this spring, most of those incumbents lost. And school will be starting back soon, in some places earlier than others, but a former high school English teacher writing at the Daily Wire has a warning for parents. The students getting caught using artificial intelligence aren't the slackers, she says. They're the honor students and team captains, buried under homework until cheating starts looking like the only exit. And the old tales about who's using AI and who's not, well, those are gone too, since tools now rough up the writing until it sounds human, and kids who know that pasting text shows up in a document's edit history just retype the machine's work by hand. And that wraps up today's Fortis News Break. I'm Jimmy Hicks. If you want more, you can download Fortis Plus or sign up to become a Fortis Insider for exclusive daily content. Both can be done at FortisInstitute.org. And don't forget, you can subscribe to Fortis News on your favorite podcast app in order to get these updates daily. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.
Titles of Christ. In the Bible, Jesus is given many titles that teach us about who he is and what he has done. Jesus is called the door. A door serves to provide or prevent access. Thieves and robbers are prevented from entering in, but those who trust in Christ are able to come through him into eternal salvation.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Just in case you thought I was being a big old meanie, this is Wretched Radio. You thought I was being a little harsh on Jimmy because I was scolding him for being way too active after having back surgery when the doctor told you how long is the recovery process?
Don't.
Come on. How long?
4 months.
Yeah. And you're 1 month into it?
A little over.
Okay. Please stop. Let us do stuff, or we'll find somebody who can do the stuff for you. We love your commitment to the ministry, but you are going to hurt yourself. And you thought, well, you were being a little bit severe. Let me just tell you what you missed during the break. A profound demonstration of my love for Jimmy Hicks. You have no idea how much I expressed my love to him during the break. Do you remember, Jimmy?
What did you say?
Yeah, I didn't say a thing. And that was my demonstration of love. Do you know why?
Why?
Because your mic was on, and what were you doing in there?
I don't know. I was opening something.
This. You were doing this. And I said nothing because I didn't want to pile on. What was that but an act of profound love for Jimmy Hicks? So if you think I was just being mean to him. It is such a weird phenomenon because as you're doing it in there, I'm just like, it just tingles. But I do it. It's fine.
Yeah.
It's just fine. It's not a problem. What is that phenomenon? I'd like to know. Did I mention this is Wretched Radio? Jimmy, You want to play another round? Well, I'm afraid you're going to have to. Yeah.
You be the judge.
You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
Order in the court.
How's about a round of which Islamic story is the most... Is the most ironic? No. Is the most, yeah. I think we'll go with that. Which Muslim clip, or story rather, is most, yeah. Not exactly sure what the rules or the criteria are, but which one is most, yeah. Here we go. Story number one. Let me take you to Germany. Turkish Airlines, a Turkish immigrant living in Germany, refused to sit next to a woman on a flight. You know that Sharia law business. And so, gasp, a female flight attendant tried to comfort him, calm the man down. How does he respond? Well, he punched or slapped her because she was a woman trying to comfort a man. He was arrested when they landed in Dusseldorf. Dusseldorf has an umlaut. I didn't know that. We say it should be Dusseldorf is what it should be. The Muslim man practicing Sharia law, refusing to sit next to a woman and slapping the female flight attendant. Hey, Germany, just keep on bringing them in. Everything is going to be fine. Just fine. That's story number one, Jimmy. Which one is most? Yeah. Story number two. A transgender American regrets fleeing to the Netherlands because all the Muslim immigrants want to kill him.
What did he think was going to happen?
Well, you know, the situation, this is quote, the situation I have in the U.S. as a trans person, not good, right? But here I will be hurt or killed. Yeah, about that. Story number three. Muslims threatened to slaughter a Christian apologist family for not saying Islam is peaceful.
That's irony.
Man, this is a guy. I was not familiar with him. I went and watched some of his videos. Seems like a sharp character. It's called Inspiring Philosophy. Michael Jones. He's a Christian apologist. He wrote this. My family is being targeted by Islamic extremists. I don't know that they're extreme. I think the ones that are... that behave like that are being more observant and more obedient to the Quran than those who are not. My family has been threatened with, and apparently you can't say our asterisk PE anymore, or print it even, because it'll get you into trouble or censored, or the AI will keep it from being disseminated. I don't know. My family has been threatened with that and violence. They're currently looking for my home address to target us because he wouldn't say that Islam is a religion of peace. One of them told me your front door is next. Cool. They've shared my phone number, shared an address they claimed was mine, tried to locate my actual home, threatened physical violence, and made threats of sexual violence against my wife. That's story number three. Which one is most? Yeah. And finally, this 60,000 Arab men. They stormed two Spanish cities and got fiery, but were mostly peaceful. Here's the details from Not the Bee. 60,000 military-aged Arab men stormed two Spanish cities on the coast of North Africa. Now, those are the last of the European holdings of North Africa, those two cities. 60,000 Muslims flooded those towns, burned cars, stormed buildings, looted businesses, shouting Allahu Akbar. Mostly peaceful was the report from the media. That's story number four. Jimmy, mm-hmm. Which one is most? Yeah. And I know what you're thinking right now.
Which one?
I'm running short on material. We're not going to have enough time. No. Don't be deceived.
Okay.
This is now turned into, this is the, when they do the, like when you're in a competition and the draw, so you got first round, second round, quarterfinal, semi. Yeah. So this is like a quarterfinalist.
I got you. I got
you. That's what we're picking. We got more. All right. So calm down.
Okay.
Well, which one is most? Yeah.
Right now I'm going to go with the ironic Muslim that threatens the Christian apologist.
They're all ironic, frankly. All right. So that's a contender. And then who was your winner from the last round?
The Methodist Church.
The Methodist Church, which rewrote the Beatitudes. Right. Blessed are the trans people, et cetera, et cetera. All right, you ready for round three?
Okay.
So this will be our final. So whoever wins this one then will compete against the other two.
Okay.
I'm making this up. Can you tell?
I think so.
All right, here we go. Which one of these just makes you shake your head the most violently? That's what this one is called. You ready?
I'm ready.
Kamala Harris just told the Democrats, or laid out the Democrats' 2028 agenda. She wants to pack the Supreme Court. That's not a shock. Revisit the Electoral College. Got to do away with that. And give statehood to D.C. and Puerto Rico so that they can win elections. That's Kamala Harris. Just getting more and more out there with the agenda of that is not American at all. I think we need to stop. I believe it was Dostoevsky who made no distinction between socialism and communism. Made no distinction whatsoever. I think it's time to do that. Let's label this Trojan horse what it is. Sophie Cunningham blasts Seattle Storm co-owner for cursing teen girls. There were some girls at the Indiana Fever basketball game. And apparently the owner of the Indiana Fever saw these two girls and their T-shirts that said XXXY. In other words, there's a difference between the genders. And it's reported that the owner of the Indiana Fever called them bleeping insane. Now, apparently the owner has actually been banned from 5 home games. She can't even attend 5 home games of the team that she owns. They didn't explain why, by the way. Nevertheless, that's an adult who's married to another adult woman right there. That's story number two, Jimmy. Mm-hmm. So Kamala versus the Indiana Fever owner. Minnesota, My Gender Dolls. That's right. With swappable body parts rolling out for school children as young as 4. Oh, terrific. They're called My Gender Dolls with removable, swappable, you know what, to school children as young as 4 to help them realize all the different options that exist for who they can be regardless of their body parts. So if their body parts don't matter, then what's the big deal about body parts? They claim one thing. Hey, those things mean nothing, but we got to have those. We don't want that one. We got to have this one. But they mean nothing. It's totally inconsistent. And this entire movement, this entire movement appears to be predicated on. It's all about sex and body parts. The dolls are intended for children between the ages of 4 and 10. That's story number three, Jimmy. You keeping track?
I am.
All right. Story number four. Gay men who used, oh boy. Gay men who used they used a woman to rent her body to have their baby. They actually are suing her because she refused to abort because the baby was reported to have a cleft palate in the womb. So they're suing her. What is right about that story? absolutely nothing. There it is, Jimmy. That's story number four.
Okay.
The lawsuit, the My Gender Dolls, the owner, the adult woman cursing out the kids because they understand that there's only two genders, mm-hmm. or Kamala Harris. Which one is... Blah, blah, blah.
Anytime you groom children, you're going to go straight to the top of the list for me.
My Gender Dolls?
Yep.
All right, then here we go. My Gender Dolls versus the United Methodist Church versus, what was the other one? Oh, the ironic Muslims wanting to kill the guy because he said Islam isn't a peaceful religion. Who's our winner?
It's got to go back to the rewriting of scripture.
You still go back to that?
Yeah.
The United Methodist rewriting the Beatitudes.
Yeah, you can't do that.
No, you shouldn't do that. Unfortunately, they do in the United Methodist Church. This is Wretched Radio.
Look, I'm going to be straight with you. Every man knows what it's like to fight a battle no one else can see. You wake up, you're determined that today is going to be different. This time, you're going to be stronger than the temptation. But then evening comes. And there you are again, right back where you started. You're making promises to yourself that you already know deep down that you're not going to keep tomorrow. Here's what no one wants to admit. You can't win this fight with willpower. Trust me, if determination alone could break the chains of lust and sin, you would already be free. You've probably figured that out by now. The filters, the accountability apps, the promises to your wife or to yourself, they're just band-aids on a wound that needs surgery. Real freedom, the kind that actually lasts, it only comes when Christ changes you from the inside out. Not just your habits, but your actual heart. That's what Todd Friel gets into very deeply with his resource, Play the Man. It's available right now as an ebook, an audiobook, and video series only at FortisPlus.org. Ask most Christians what they know about hermeneutics, and you'll likely get, Herman who? That sounds like somebody's uncle. Is that the guy that always comes and just stays quiet in the back of the small group? Hermeneutics is actually the art and science of interpreting scripture. And if you don't know how to do it rightly, you're going to read the Bible wrongly. Worse, you're actually going to be an easy target for every false teacher with a podcast and a proof text. Herman Who is basically a master's level education in how to read the Bible correctly, and it's condensed into something that you can actually finish. You'll learn how to interpret a 2,000-year-old book in a 21st century world without twisting it into something it was never meant to say. By the end of it, you'll never read scripture the same way again, and you'll never have the wool pulled over your eyes by someone who sounds competent but doesn't know what they're talking about. Herman Who, it is streaming right now for free on Fortis Plus. Download the app on your smartphone, on your smart TV, or just simply go to fortisplus.org. Trust the science. You've heard it a million times, usually right before someone uses it to shut a conversation down instead of open one up. But science is a tool, it's not a judge. And like any tool, it depends on who's holding it and what they already believe. Think about it. Two scientists can look at the exact same data and walk away with opposite conclusions because each one brought a different worldview to the table. Science also leans on a few things it can't prove, that the universe stays orderly, and that our minds can actually grasp truth. Both make the most sense of a rational God made it all. You take him out of the picture and you're left trusting that chaos somehow adds up. That's where In the Beginning with Dr. Jason Lyle comes in. He's a PhD astrophysicist. He'll teach you to read the science headlines without getting played. New episodes of In the Beginning are dropped every single Wednesday on every single podcast platform in existence or at FortisPlus.org.
Important dates in Christian history. 1793. William Carey sails as a missionary to India. In the next 40 years, he would oversee more Bible translations than had previously been produced in all of Christian history. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
This is Wretched Radio. Don't you just hate it when somebody says something and you go, oh, why didn't I think of that? That's the experience I had last night reading the Christian Worldview Journal. It's David Wheaton's ministry. He hosts an hour-long weekly program. You really will be edified every time you listen to it. Always worth a listen. It's called the Christian Worldview. He sends out a journal. Well, this is for July and August, so I'm guessing he sends out six per year. Good math, Todd. The title of his article, America 250, Will We Repent or Rebel? good question, because there's a great deal of effort being put into the message that says, Christians, if our government doesn't meet our standard, it's time to rebel. David Wheaton's thought is, no, we need to encourage people to repent. That is the hope of our nation. And he used a Bible verse to explain why it is that the nations rage. That was a hint. I read this and I went, of course. This is why we're seeing such an intense effort to deconstruct Western civilization. There's obviously something bigger going on here. In the past, I've said this is spiritual warfare. But Psalm 2 brings such great clarity to understanding why are the nations raging. Let me share with you from David Wheaton's article. How did we get here? How did we get to this place where we are right now? And what ought we to do? That's the big question. Because we can be off on our analysis. How did we get here? But I think we need to go to the biblical solution to the national problem. And the solution is always evangelism. And that's exactly David Wheaton's conclusion. This is what he writes. Some would say that it was the influence of German higher criticism that cast doubt on the Bible in the late 1800s into the 1900s. Now, that's true. They did contribute to the demise of the West because they brought a low view of the Bible into public consideration. Others would point to the Scopes trial in the 1920s and the resulting acceptance of Darwinian evolution. Yeah, I think that contributed to the demise of the West. Some would point to removing prayer and the Ten Commandments from schools. Well, I think the reason, though, that prayer and the Ten Commandments were removed is because the nation was changing. It was already changing when that decision was made, I believe, in the early 60s, when that decision was made. It's because we were already seeing a changing culture, more strength, if you will, from unbelievers protesting separation of church and state. So I do believe that act was more of a fruit than it was a root. Nevertheless, some would say we're in this situation because of sex, drugs, and the rock and roll culture of the 60s and 70s. Others would blame the influence of entertainment and media. Yep, you can't leave them out. Social media, especially these days. Wow, has it accelerated debauchery? Wow, has it accelerated the propagation of really bad ideologies? Others would hold the church responsible for compromising its message and methodology for non-believers. And David concludes, yeah, they've all had contributing effects. And I would say if I had to pick one, Jimmy, if you had to pick one of those things that has caused our Western civilization to be so compromised, which one would you say that's the winner?
I don't.
I do.
What?
I do. It's the church. The church.
Hmm.
We have over 350,000 Christian churches in America. 350. No other entity even comes close to that. I mean, not even close. And if we're seeing a changed America, then apparently we're allowing the change. We're not being salty, we're not being light, and we're no longer evangelizing, at least not very well these days. And so all of these other things, I believe, are the result of a weakened church. That was the case I tried to make in a book that I wrote. Wow. 10 or more years, what is it called? It's over there. Thou shalt judge.
Judge not.
Judge not. really tragic.
Thou shalt judge was the...
That's so pathetic.
That was the...
I worked hard on that. I should be able to remember something, especially the title of the book, Thou Shalt Not Judge. Oh, that was another resource.
Thou shalt judge was what
with
you
Justin
did.
Peters.
Right.
Right. No, Thou Shalt Judge.
Available on FortisPlus.org.
For free.
That's right.
Not the book. You got to buy the book at Amazon if you want the book, but we give everything away for free. My new book's coming out. Do you know the title of that one?
Go Serve Your King.
I knew that. Just testing you right
okay.
There. Super excited about that. Super excited about that. David Wheaton concluding, there have been a lot of things that have impacted the demise of Western civilization. But he continues, the root cause is explained in the first three verses of Psalm chapter 2. where man rebels against God. Why are the nations in an uproar and the peoples devising a vain thing? The kings of the earth, they take their stand, and the rulers take counsel against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us tear their fetters apart and cast away their cords from us. Boom, there it is right there. The rulers of the earth and people, all people, they want to tear the fetters. They do not want God to tell them what to do. The answer to what is happening in our world is answered in Psalm 2 in the first few verses. It's rebellion against God. The leaders, who in our case are elected by the people, join together to stand against the Lord and against his anointed one, Jesus Christ. Wheaton rightly says, this is not complicated. It's the animating force in our nation and all nations. It's a war against God. Let's perhaps change our paradigm in the way that we view virtually everything these days through a political lens. It's through a spiritual lens. Politics is a fruit. Politics is downstream, the root, spiritual, upstream, spiritual, what people believe. It's manifested in these bad things. We would do well to discipline ourselves. Stop thinking so politically. Be disciplined to think critically, theologically. Every person is born with a heart that says to God, I will rule, not you. You're enslaving me. I'll tear your restraint off of me. David Wheaton concludes, unless God acts upon the soul and unless the soul surrenders in repentance and reconciliation to God on his terms, the peoples will continue to devise more and more vain things and nations become more of an uproar. Are you tired of it? Weary from it? Are you tired of getting exercised, just whipped into a frenzy? The other, we were in Boston. We were in Boston last week for a couple of days because I was in Tennessee with Nick Freitas, and then we went to Boston. And I'm not even jet lagged, although Delta did cancel our flight. That was kind of the first bummer I've had with Delta. Typically, I think they're just an excellent airline. They just canceled our flight. Surprise. Good luck. It's not that far to Atlanta. We flew back. All is well. But while we were in Boston, we were in a hotel room so small.
How small was it?
Hey! Hey! I didn't think I was going to get anything from you. We were in a hotel room so small. I had to step outside to change my mind. I'm telling you, it was so small. And doing whatever. And I found myself going, I'm mad. What am I so agitated about? Fox News was on the TV. They just get you whipped into a twist, and I completely got to turn this off. It's just making me incensed, and I don't even know what they're talking about, just the tone of it, and everything is wrong, and these people are terrible, and we're all going to die. Yikes. It just, that's what they seek to do. And they never tell us then what we should do. Well, the Bible does. Do you want to see the West change? This is the last paragraph from David Wheaton. Nations are made up of people, and people are made up of individuals with sinful hearts in need of God's redemption. When individual souls are saved and begin to live under Christ's lordship, they influence their families and spheres of responsibility. And as that influence multiplies, homes, neighborhoods, schools, towns, cities, and ultimately nations can be transformed for the glory of God. But what must happen first? People need to be saved. Therefore, what we can do has already been commanded. Go and make disciples. I was reading an article from the Christian Post, Why the Woke Right is More Dangerous Than Conservatives Admit. An interesting article, but what captured my attention was the observation that I think we're all aware of, that the left has advanced through the long march through the institutions. Antonio Gramsci, he believed, hey, we got to get schools and universities, media, churches, entertainment, government, institutions that shape how people think before they cast a vote. So if they can capture the institutions, then they can indoctrinate people and they will then vote kooky. All right, what does that have to do with our concern about the nation's raging? We have institutions. We already have indoctrination centers. They're right. They needed to grab those so that they can indoctrinate those. We don't need to grab anything. We need to indoctrinate, which means we need to evangelize. If we want to see the world change and the nation stop raging, there is only one solution. Share the gospel. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.